Father, we come to you today and we know that as your people, you love us. We also know that you know every heart. You know my heart and you know the heart of each and every individual that is gathered here today. You know what our secret thoughts are when no one else knows. You know what our activities are when no one else is around. You know every thought, every motive, every intent, every type of deception that we engage in. And today, Lord, we just pray that you will search our hearts. And if we find that there is some love for the world and its things in us, then we come today and we pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us again as you cleansed us at the beginning when we came and received Christ as Savior. And you cleansed us of all of our old sins. So we pray you would cleanse us today of any double-mindedness. So take your word now and use it today in our lives, for our desire is to please you and to praise you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you're among those who like to take the notes, fill in the blanks, and have something to take with you, now would be the time to get that. I think you'll find it on the flip side of the scripture reading today. First, I think we'll just get right into the observation part, and all we're doing here is making some observations on the very passage that we just read. So just bear in mind as we go through that, what we're describing here is really what we just read. And this is what I take and what I gather as I read it from James. Number one, conflicts, internal and external, come from ungodly lusts and desires. That is their root. That is where they originate. That is where they come from. We have a lot of conflicted Christians today, and I imagine we have had conflicted Christians in every age. Turmoil in the life, turmoil in the heart, and so forth. Listen, storms don't bring conflict. Jesus said we can have peace in the storm from outer conflict. No. Turmoil comes from a divided heart. And that is exactly the point that James is making here. Number two, our lusts and desires corrupt our motives. Now, I would imagine most of us here today would like to believe that all of our motives, even when we go to the Lord in prayer, are on the up and up and are just and are pure. But unfortunately, that is not always the case. Because how many have heard of that word, the flesh? We've talked about it here before. I think we've mentioned it not too long ago. The flesh is still there, and the flesh has desires. And so we still have these things. So we love the Lord and all that, but the flesh still has lusts and desires and will cause us, it will corrupt our motives. Now here's the third step. Our corrupt motives, made corrupt by our lusts and desires, lead us to make improper requests, which are then denied, which leads to further frustration or even rebellion. And that's exactly what he says. He says you do not have, first of all, because you don't ask. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. We want to fix it ourselves. We want to get it ourselves. We think we have this covered. We think we can get it. And then, so we don't ask. And if we had just asked the Lord in prayer to provide this in His timing and in His way, He would have opened the door and He would have provided it. But instead, we struggle. And if we do attain it, we attain it at great cost and letting some other valuable things go. And sometimes we don't attain it at all. So He says you don't have because you don't ask. And then the other thing is, He says, and a lot of times when you do ask, you don't receive because you asked with wrong motives. Now, how many here had a mom and a dad? I imagine most of us did. How many of us here ever had a request turned down by mom and dad? Now, did they disown us? Did they say, because you asked that, you're not my son or my daughter anymore? No, they just simply said no. In some cases, no, period. In some cases, not now. Maybe at a later time. But because the request was, for reasons at least that they viewed, an improper request. If not the request itself, maybe the timing, maybe the circumstance, that isn't good for you right now. Now, again, but at least from their point of view, I know parents can make mistakes. I'm a parent. I know we can all make mistakes. But at least from their point of view, when mom and dad do deny a request, is it because they hate you? Hopefully not. Hopefully, it is because they have, as Bennett was talking about, your best interest in mind because they care for you. Has it ever occurred to you that in some situations, sometimes your parents may know more about you than you know about yourself? And that is an absolute fact. Our parents know us pretty good. Because they see us and because they observe us. And we can sometimes deceive ourselves. And sometimes we can think our motives are right, and yet mom and dad know that they aren't exactly right. And they know what our tendencies are. And they know what our bents are. And they know what we are capable of. Did your mom and dad know what you were capable of? I imagine they did. And if they didn't, they weren't good parents. And so we make improper requests, and then those requests are denied. And then when they're denied, we blame everybody else instead of us. We blame other people. We blame the boss. We blame circumstances. We blame God. We say, God must not love me anymore. He doesn't give me what I asked Him. I have met people that are mad at God. Have you ever been mad at God? Even overnight? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that one. But I hope in your heart you're honest about it. How many have ever seen a little kid throw a tantrum because they didn't get what they wanted? I see a hand in the back. I've never seen it. I've heard of little kids that get down on the floor and kick and scream and turn blue. And we think it's mom and dad's fault that we didn't get it. We think when it's a prayer that it's God's fault that we didn't get it. We should be thanking God if we knew the truth that He didn't give us that request because He knew something we didn't know. Is it possible that a parent could know something we don't know? Am I preaching yet? But we should be thanking God in many cases that He did not grant that request. And as time goes by and as we age and as we get older, then sometimes we are able to look back and we do thank God. And we think about what would have happened had our parents given us what we asked for at that particular time. But we are conflicted because we have all these lusts and desires. That is where the conflictedness comes from. Every time we have a lust and a desire, along with it goes what Larry Crabb calls a goal. And when that goal becomes blocked, we become angry, we become frustrated, we become conflicted. Now there are internal conflicts. Conflicts of right and wrong, conflicts of those things. And then there are the conflicts that happen among us in family life, in church life, in the workplace. But the conflicts all come from the same place, whether they're internal or whether they're external. They come from our lust and our desires. Oh, that church down there, they voted the other way. They didn't vote the way I wanted them to vote, and I'm upset about it. And so that's where they come from. And James has just explained it to us. So when I'm all in turmoil, and when I'm all conflicted and all of this, or I'm feeling a little bit mad at God, I need to go back. That's what happens when you go to the doctor. He starts out, he says, well, you know, let's take your blood pressure. Let's listen to that heart, you know. Open that shirt a little bit. Let's listen to that heart a little bit. Let's take a little bit of blood. But what is it? We're having some kind of symptom or something. But what is he trying to get to? He's trying to get to the truth, and he's trying to get to the what? The cause. Because you can't have a cure until you know the cause. And the cure is the process of addressing and fixing the cause. And that is why today's message is entitled, Getting It Right. We won't get it right until we figure out the cause. So when I am all conflicted, or I'm in conflict with other people a great deal, and the conflict between me and others is quite heated sometimes, I say, but they're in the wrong. They may be in the wrong. But if I'm terribly conflicted about it, then at least at a bare minimum, I need to take a look inside. And I need to ask the Holy Spirit to put his little searchlight. How many have watched CSI? Have you always noticed they always have the flashlight, even when the sun is coming through the window? Barbara and I used to talk about that. Why do they need a flashlight? They've always got the flashlight. But the flashlight shows them, right? Shows them stuff and shows what's going on. You go to the doctor, open up! And then he shows that little flashlight down in there. And the Lord has a flashlight, and he can start, you know, but we've got to be willing for that to happen. Search my heart, O God. Do we sing that sometimes? Have you ever sung that? Search my heart, O God. That's what you're saying. Turn your light on and look around. And so sometimes we get real uppity. God didn't answer my request. He answers those other people's prayers. He don't answer my prayers. And we get all huffy about it instead of saying, my Lord, there must be some good reason you've denied this request. And help me. If I have, even unknowingly, asked for the wrong reasons, or within the wrong timing, then Lord, just help me to wait, believing that if this is something you want me to have, you'll provide it in your good time, and you'll provide it in your way, but free me of conflict. Free me of inner turmoil, that I won't go around in conflict and turmoil all the time just because you don't always do things my way, or do things the way that I see. And the Lord will help us with that. Number four. All we've described are only symptoms Everything we've talked about here are only symptoms. The underlying problem is a divided heart. Divided affections, which constitutes spiritual adultery. The remedy is repentance. And that is why James now, after he covers these things and shows us some of this stuff, I mean, it almost sounds like he's talking rough to them. He's talking to the church in Jerusalem, and he's talking to other Jewish believers. He's talking to the people he shepherds. He's talking to the people he loves. And he says, "You adulterous people." How many can tell me if God accused Israel in the Old Testament of being adulterous? How many know if he did or didn't? Once? Unfortunately. And when they were conquered, and when they went into captivity, and when they had famine, and when they had war, and when they had pestilence, and when judgments came upon them, was it not usually because of their unfaithfulness? Was that not the cause of it? He would say, "Return to me. Why do you want to be punished this way? Why do you want to suffer these kinds of consequences? Return to me. Return to me." Adultery is unfaithfulness. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Have you ever heard somebody say, "If you're going to be their friend, you can't be my friend"? That's what God says to me about this current fallen world system. John 2, 1 John 2:15. We know this. Well, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Do not love the world. What is the world? What does it mean to be worldly? To be worldly and to be carnal are almost identically the same thing. And the Apostle Paul addresses carnality in some places, in some of his epistles. He said, "Are you not carnal? You're still arguing about who you're loyal to and who you follow and about men and personalities. Are you not carnal? I wanted to feed you meat. I am having to still give you the bottle because you are carnal, because you are still at that base level of your desires and these things instead of seeking the higher things of God." What is it to be worldly? You don't have to go out and get stone cold drunk in order to be worldly. You don't have to go out and shoplift in order to be worldly. You don't have to hang out with a whole bunch of people that are doing pot and doing other drugs in order to be worldly. Just the materialism of this world alone, especially in America, and just all the media that we have today, and all the toys, and all the entertainment-driven everything is enough to divide our affections for our Lord, even though we may not even fully understand what's happening to us. Even Even one-on-one communication with each other is getting increasingly difficult. And I see it every day. I mean, I'm not going to be critical of anybody in particular, but kids in particular, they're sitting there texting and doing the stuff and playing the games and doing all the other. It's hard to get anybody's attention, hard to hold a conversation, hard to really engage in any way that way anymore. And I see the kids doing that, and they text each other back and forth, and then I can see it's entertainment. They are communicating with each other by texting, but it's entertainment, and they laugh at each other's texts. Now, am I saying that in itself is evil? No, but I'm saying that almost everything in our society today is entertainment-driven. And entertainment is not evil within itself, but let me tell you something. It does not edify us. It does not help us in our Christian growth. It does not draw us closer to the Lord. It does not make us more effective as believers. It does many times take away from other more worthy pursuits. And to that degree, it is an activity of the world. Now, we've got to make our own choices about what we do and what we don't do and all the rest. But I'm just telling you, the whole mindset of materialism and of entertainment in our current world today. I tell you what, the deception has never been stronger. The options have never been more prolific. If we want to do something other than really be in the Word of the Lord or be with God's people or be engaging in really, you know, significant activities, there's never been more other options out there to draw us away. And it doesn't, you know, and we don't realize it. And the Lord, He's trying to get our attention, and we're down here so caught up. It is so easy to get caught up in all of these things. But today it's this. In those days it was other things. You go to any culture, there are other things. Even if you go into a primitive culture, there are other things. There are always other things to draw us away from our walk and from our commitment to the Lord. So I'm not here to judge. And I definitely don't want to get into legalism. But this thing of the divided heart doesn't have anything to do with legalism. When I stay away from certain things in my life, I don't do it because there's a rule book and rule 27 says, thou shalt not do this. No, I don't do it because I know that it would hurt me spiritually and I love my Lord. And because I love my Lord, I do not want to do that and I will not do that because I don't want to do that because I know it would hurt my relationship with the Lord. Are you following me? And just because there's people say legalism, legalism. No, it's not legalism. It is the fact that if I love the Lord, there are certain behaviors that are going to enhance my relationship with Him, and there are some that are going to damage it. Amen. And I want to stay away from the ones that are going to damage it. And it's no more complicated than that. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are no longer under the law. I don't have to sit there reading the rule book every day and all afraid I might have broken some rule. That isn't love, that's fear. And that is legalism. But when the Holy Spirit says to me, no, you probably shouldn't do that right now, that's not legalism. That's Him helping me to keep my walk where it ought to be. And we need to be sensitive enough to be guided by the Spirit. Do you believe that? Can any believer be guided by the Spirit? Or is that just something for the select few? Guided by the Spirit is nothing other than being able to hear the Lord's voice speaking to us. And that's still a small voice. Sometimes it's direct in our own thoughts and our minds. Sometimes it's through what we're reading in His Word. Sometimes it's through what's coming through the loudspeaker as we listen to a servant of the Lord, share the Word, or whatever. But the Lord, He is. And He's constantly looking for those things that are going to enhance. But there is a place for repentance. Today, everybody wants the happy and the this and the that and the other. But I'll tell you what, in the old days it was thought that when sinners came forward to accept the Lord and knelt at an altar, it was expected that there would be tears. And do you know what those tears were? They were tears of repentance. And there is a time and there is a place for that. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And when it's time to dance, then let's dance. But when it's time to mourn, then let's mourn. And what should we mourn more for than for our sins and our shortcomings? Now, I'm not talking about the old thing the enemy uses. He's always trying to beat us up and, you're worthless. No, I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about being truly sorry when we mess up. Have you ever done something and then immediately felt really, really bad about it? Oh, my, I feel so bad because I see how somebody was affected by what I did. I feel so bad. Yes, we're supposed to. And then we're supposed to come and confess it. What follows the repentance? What follows the mourning? What follows the confession of sin? Do you know what follows? If it's done right, do you know what follows? Restoration. Refreshing and revival. How long has it been since you heard that word? In order to have revival, you don't have to bring some speaker in and pay him $500 for the week. You don't. All you have to do is repent in your own heart. And after that, and we sense the Lord's forgiveness, and we sense his cleansing, and all of that. Because when we, listen, a broken heart, Lord, you will not despise. You do not delight in sacrifice. I have this here on the sheet, or I would bring it. Do you know when David wrote that Psalm 51? It's the most beautiful psalm of repentance after he committed what? So that's why I put this here. And when we've been unfaithful to the Lord in ways, same thing. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. He will always receive us. And then he will reassure us. His spirit will come back to us in greater measure. How many remember that song, How Long Has It Been Since You Talked With the Lord? How long since your heart and you no burden and so forth? How long has it been? That was a song they used to sing back when I was younger. How long has it been? Has it been a little while since you really felt that peace of God in your heart? And when you knew that everything was okay, and you knew that wasn't anything standing between, my dad used to sing a song many years ago, nothing between my soul and the Savior. And we can have it. We can have it. Oh, the world's all glittery. The world's all... Just remember one thing. All of it is going to pass away. All of it. It's fine to use it. Nothing wrong with using it. Technology isn't good or bad within itself. But all the glitz and all the glitter and all the stuff and everything that's this and that and the other right now and what's hot and what's not, it's all going to go away. And at the end of the day, what's going to really matter? don't we say, you know, when you get to the very end of life, things really don't matter that much anymore? It's about friends, it's about family. Don't we say things like that? All of a sudden we realize that that's what really matters. Well, yeah, and our relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is being built right now, right today, every single day. You may view a day as very, very ordinary or whatever. No day is ordinary when you're walking with the Lord. Just a good, quiet day where not a whole lot, you know, not a whole lot happened that day, but maybe I did spend some time with the Lord. Maybe I was able to do something for somebody and help them out a little bit. That's a good day. But this relationship is a day-by-day thing. And so the Lord is saying to us, if you're conflicted, it's probably because there are some desires and things still active there that shouldn't be. And it leads us to actions, thoughts, and attitudes that wind up kind of alienating us in our daily walk with the Lord. And the way to make that right has never changed. It is simply by repentance. And after that comes the joy and the peace. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you today that your word is still true. And even though we live in a very fast-paced modern society with a lot of technology and a lot of things, you're still calling us away. I hear about young couples wanting to go away just so they can be with each other and stuff like that. You're calling us away, Lord. You're calling us to a relationship with you. You're calling us to a commitment to you. You're calling us to a covenant relationship, just like marriage, to you. And Lord, our desire really is to be true to you every day. Your desire for us is not that we would be conflicted, but rather that we would have your peace every day. And that comes, of course, from a walk with you. So Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our walk with you. And if there are things right now working in our own lives, if we've become neglectful in some ways, if we're giving more time to certain things, not that they're evil in themselves, but we're giving more time to them than we should, and they're taking us away from you, then I just pray that you, Lord, would gently speak to us today and bring us to the place where we say, Lord, I really would rather have the relationship with you, because I know that is what's going to really last. And Lord, do show us when our motives are wrong and help us to repent of that and then receive the cleansing and the forgiveness you provide. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you that you don't forsake us even when we forsake you. Take your word and use it in our hearts, we pray. And speak to us by your Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.